Well, hello again. I want to take just a moment, since we're getting ready to start the passage of Palm Sunday, to talk about what's going to be happening through the rest of this week as we have Holy Week. And I'm aware that there's a lot of people in our church that have come to us through other church denominations. And Pastor Philip had this really great joke that he shared at 8 o'clock, and then he lost between 8 o'clock and 9:30, and he called it must have been a God thing that he wasn't supposed to share the joke again. I don't know. Maybe somebody took it from him. That's only for God to know. But his joke was all about how we are made up of different denominations in our church. But the reason that I bring that up is not all denominations celebrate all of the events of Holy Week like we do here. So I just wanted to take just a brief moment to tell you kind of what all we do and why we have so many different events on Holy Week. And that way you can kind of decide what you want to come to. And I encourage you to, if you've never been to our unique services, to try them all, because they're very impactful as we lead to Passion Sunday or Celebration Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And so Holy Week starts today with Palm Sunday, where we see Jesus enter into Jerusalem with the palm branches and the singing of Hosanna. And then this week we will have our last Lenten Bible study, our Lenten lunch on Tuesday, and Pastor Brad is going to be reflecting on the last words of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you've never been to a Lenten lunch before, if you'd like to join us noon on Tuesday in this room, the program will start at 12:15, lunch starts at 12, and we're going to just reflect on those words of Jesus, the very last things that he said. It's a great way to start getting your mind into the events of Jesus journeying to the cross. And then on Thursday, we have this thing called Maundy, like a Jamaican Monday, Maundy Thursday, and it's here in this room again at 7 p.m., and Maundy Thursday is the Last Supper, okay? We're going to have communion, and it is celebrating what Jesus did in the upper room with his disciples. So we're going to really dive into the events of that night. So be all focused on what he did with his disciples. And he leaves the Last Supper to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, to where he's betrayed. And then we go into Friday, or Good Friday, which we call it, which is when he's actually hung on the cross and crucified. And that service is in the sanctuary, and we'll talk about the different events that led from his betrayal all the way up to him going on the cross. And then on Saturday, we have Holy Saturday. And we call it Holy Saturday just because Christ is doing something in his death. Because while dead, Christ is conquering death. And so although nothing in Jerusalem happened on Saturday, Christ was doing something from within the grave. And so we're going to remember the fact that Israel had nothing other than mourning on that day. They didn't know Christ was going to continue on. And so we're going to have a service, a kind of somber service, but also knowing that the very next morning something wonderful is going to happen, which is, of course, Easter Sunday, when Christ returns to us and he conquers death fully and raises himself from the dead on Resurrection Day. And on Easter Sunday, just a reminder, we will have an extra service in this room. I've been saying this for many, many weeks, 9:37 in here. So you have a choice between 9:37 and 11:07 on Easter Sunday, and we have all of our normal services in the sanctuary. There's also a tradition of our church to bring flowers on Easter Sunday, and there's a cross we call a resurrection cross that sits in front of the sanctuary, and you can come and decorate the cross with the flowers you bring from your house. You can just pick them off your bushes, and you put them on the cross, and as the day goes on, the cross gets filled with more and more and more flowers. And we see a cross that was very plain and not pretty to look at to become filled with the image of beauty. That's a pretty cool thing to see it transform. So if you like to be a part of that, bring some with you. You don't have to go buy anything. Just find whatever you can find, and you'll find that cross in front of the sanctuary facing Old Ferry Road. So I hope you'll think about these events and try to come to some services you may not have come to before, because it's really a cool thing to travel through, starting with Monday, Thursday, all the way to Easter Sunday, when we get here to celebrate that our King is risen. So as we look at our passage this morning, would you go with me into prayer? Almighty Lord, we know just 1 week from today, we will be back in this room celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But this morning, we celebrate his entry into Jerusalem as they praised him and sang of his wonderfulness, Hosanna. So as we look into this passage, as these words of Luke, I'd like to ask that you use them to speak to us, speak to me, and draw us closer to you through them, and closer to you throughout this entire week. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, this account of Jesus entering Jerusalem is in all four Gospels. That doesn't happen much. We chose the one in Luke because it has the most words of Jesus. And since this sermon is called Written in Red, the red letters of Jesus, his words, we figured it was fitting to use the passage where Jesus said the most. But I do encourage you, if you want to look at the other versions of this, if you look inside your beacon on the Connect Notes, which is right in the center, I have listed there for you the other tellings of the story, and they're all slightly different. But in this passage, Jesus is talking about the fact that he needs to enter Jerusalem, and he's planned this. He's planned this entry in a very specific way, and it starts off by his need to ride in to Jerusalem. And he tells his disciples the first set of words that Jesus says in verses 30 and 31. He says, go into that village over there. And as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. Go and find the young donkey. And when someone asks, just say, the Lord needs it. So the disciples do as Jesus says, and of course the man who owns the donkey does say, why are you taking my donkey? And they say, because the Lord needs it. Now Jesus riding this donkey in is a very interesting thing. And see, in the day, all through the Old Testament and the day of Jesus, riding a donkey, or a young colt is what young donkeys are called, colts, to ride a donkey into a city, a king would do this as a symbol of peace. See, a king would ride a horse into a city when they were going off into war. Because you need horses for war. Horses are mighty animals. They're animals that are fast. They're animals that are strong. You know, you would need a horse to drive a chariot or to go into battle and to take your sword and to charge. But you didn't need a horse if you weren't at war. So when a king rode into a city at peacetime, the king rode on the back of a donkey. And there's account after account after account in the Old Testament of kings riding through the city streets during peace on donkeys. And Solomon was one of them. And what's interesting about this is that the Roman world was not really at peace. They were at forced peace by powerful men. The Romans forced peace by saying, if you object to us, we will kill you. They called it peace, but it was oppression. You would never see a Roman soldier riding a donkey. They rode horses because they put fear into people by their power. So when Jesus rode in on a donkey, he was saying, I come in peace. He's telling the Romans, I come in peace. I'm not trying to overthrow the Romans. I'm not trying to put you in a different place. I'm not trying to threaten the Roman government. I come in peace. He's even telling the Jewish leaders, I'm not trying to be the Jewish king. I come in peace. I'm not trying to uproot the whole society and do an overthrow of government. I come in peace. But Jesus also knew by doing this that he was doing something that was a very powerful statement. There was also a custom of the day that a very prestigious person, a person of government, a king, an ambassador, and also rabbis could go and ask for someone's personal property to borrow. So Jesus had the right to go to someone and ask them to borrow a piece of property, like a donkey. So when he went to the person and he asked for it, and they went to tell them that their Lord needed it, the man would give it to them because that was the custom of the day. But it was a borrow. The man knew that his donkey would come back. Seems kind of strange to us. If I came up to you and I asked you to borrow your car, I don't think you would just automatically say yes until I told you why I needed your car. Why my car didn't work. If I just came up in your driveway and started taking it, I don't think you'd be happy with me. But this was their custom. So Jesus is acting amongst the way they behaved in the day. And the crowd saw him riding in on the donkey, and they started to worship him. And as the children came waving their palm branches this morning, so the crowd did, saying, Hosanna, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And they waved their branches, and they threw things down on the ground, kind of like rolling out the red carpet for Jesus as he rode in on his donkey. It's like they're just broke out into worship. In that moment, they're just spontaneously worshiping Jesus. And what's interesting to me is this crowd that is now spontaneously worshiping Jesus, and all the passages before have been spectators of Jesus. They have been people following him, just waiting for him to do wonderful things for entertainment. You know, who often said, Jesus, you did a wonderful sign yesterday. Can you do something wonderful today? Your miracle yesterday is worn off. We want to see a miracle today. And now they've been moved by the Holy Spirit in a way that they are crying out that Jesus is King. Blessed is he. Hosanna. And they've just broken into worship that is so beautiful that it's contagious. As Jesus rides into the city, they see who he is finally in this moment. And the teachers of the law don't like it. And they look at Jesus in verse 39 and they say, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like this. You see, the teachers of the law were afraid. Even though Jesus is riding in as a sign of peace, they're afraid. They're afraid to lose their power. They're afraid to lose their influence. They're afraid that this crowd loves Jesus so much. And Jesus looks at these teachers of the law on in verse 40, and he says, if these people keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. What Jesus is saying is, he said, you know what? We have hid who I am from people for too long. The Father has chosen this moment for creation to worship me. And creation is going to, one way or another, whether it be the crowd or the stones, at some place creation is going to worship. And it's funny that the crowd, who are probably not very educated, recognized who Jesus was, but the teachers of the law missed it. They're so afraid about their status and their power and control over people that they missed who Jesus was. They missed the moment. And the thing is, friends, we can't miss it. We can't miss who Jesus is. We can't miss the moment. And as we come in this week to Holy Week, as we come in to the opportunity to worship God, I want us to think about who we are. If we are the crowd that's finally realized who Jesus is for us, are we breaking out in spontaneous worship? Are we throwing all that we have to Jesus? Are we allowing the Spirit to move us? Are we putting all of our cares behind us and saying, I don't care what other people think, I'm going to worship him right now? Or are we like the Pharisees that are sitting here saying, I'm not going to give more over to Jesus because I'm afraid. I'm afraid that Jesus is going to take too much from me. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my power over my life. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my influence over my life. It's my life. Don't want Jesus to have too much of my life. And our fear holds us back. You know what? We could also be the stones. Because the stones are waiting. They're waiting for the opportunity to cry out. And we can't wait. We can't wait for the chance to cry out. We can't wait for someone else to be silent so that we can raise our voices. We have to raise our voices now. We have to lift them now because the world isn't crying out. So if we don't cry out, who will? Jesus is coming. He is coming in 7 days. He will be resurrected from the grave. And this morning, we celebrated that he entered the city and we screamed his name. So do we cry out for him? Do we celebrate him? So many times we say, I'll do it another day. I'll do it another time. But my question this morning is, are we doing it now? Because we can't wait. Because every day we wait to do it 100%, to do it fully, and to worship him with all that we have in every moment and every time of our day is a day that's wasted for God. Because God loved us with everything. And he rode into that city knowing that that was one of the last things he would do with his life. And that's a love that we can't control. It's a reckless love. So I want to invite you to pray about this, but also to stand and join me as we sing of God's reckless love. Would you stand?
No word, you paid. shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
Going on, and he wept over the city of Jerusalem, and he said, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace." His heart just broke for them and for us. But right after that, the leading priests and the teachers and the religious law and all the other leaders of Jerusalem, they started to plan how they were going to kill him. They started by waving branches and just watching how the crowds loved Jesus. And as Jesus wept for Jerusalem, after looking at the corruption, his heart just broke for the people. And then the teachers of the law were already plotting, how do we kill him? And just days later, the same people who were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," are going to be shouting, "Crucify him." Friends, we can't be those people that are fickle and turn our backs on Jesus that easily. We have to be people that stay steadfast. We have to be people who give him everything we have. We have to be people that stand strong and step out and shout in the crowd. We have to be the ones that say, it's okay when life is hard and I'm broken, because Jesus is going to carry me forward. And it doesn't matter what life throws at me, because Jesus is going to lift me up. Because his heart weeps for us. And we are the ones that he made that journey to Calvary for. So my prayer for us this morning, as we take this step towards Calvary, as we take this step towards the upper room, as we take this step toward Christ's betrayal, as he sat there and prayed, not wanting to go through this pain, but he did it anyway because of his love for us, that we remember that we can do anything because he is with us. We can do anything because we have the Jesus, and we have each other. I mean, look around this room. These are the people of Jesus in this room, and we can fight the world any day we have to, because we have each other with us. to you this week is to find time every day to remember why we do what we do and what He did for us. Would you hear this prayer of blessing this morning? Almighty Lord, we, your people, would be nothing without this week, the week that you gave yourself for us, the week that you allowed yourself to suffer, the week that you allowed your heart to break, the week that those closest to you betrayed you. Father, we would be nothing if it was not for your power and your grace and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness in our lives. Show us your hand in our lives this week. Show us people to reach out to in love. Show us how we can be all in with you and be always praising you. Don't let us be like the crowd who praised you one day and turned against you the next. Lord, allow us to be your resurrected people so that on Easter Sunday we can praise you knowing that all of our old is gone and we are only new. Allow us to journey with you this week so that we can come back and celebrate all that you've done with us. And show us someone we can bring into that celebration, someone who needs you, someone who needs to hear that from you, so that we can continue to share your mighty power with the world. We pray all of these things to the glory of God our Father, through the power of the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within each of us. Amen. Go in peace. If anyone needs to speak with me, I will be down front.